Acts chapter 3. I'm excited about what I'm preaching tonight. I actually had this in my Bible probably 3 months. I hadn't preached it yet. So evidently you're here because God wants you to hear it. Somebody say amen. I believe that what we need is a church tonight and some people that have a burning heart for God. Somebody say amen. Just hungry for God. Wanting God to do something in their life. I want you to look at Exodus 3. Let's go there. I'll read only 3 verses. I'll cover more. And I love this story. I haven't really preached much from this story over 40 years, but God's given me a message here in these last few months, and it spoke to my heart, and I think it'll speak to your heart. The Bible said in Exodus 3, familiar story. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared. Now stop there a minute so I can tell you who that is. That is what I call a Christophany, or a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Somebody help me preach. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Glory to God. And he looked and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And notice verse number 3. This is my thought tonight. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Let me read that again. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Our Father, help us tonight. Help us as we take a trip to the burning bush. May every Christian and unsaved person alike take this trip with us. And may we get our heart burning. And may we get a fresh touch. And we'll give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever thought or imagined what our Bible be like without Moses? I thank God for Moses. I love Moses, and I love the story of David, and I love preaching from both of them, and I love him. He wrote the first 5 books in the Bible. That's what we call the Pentateuch. He was a great hero of the faith. By the way, we still need some heroes of the faith. He had great leadership. Many miracles was performed by him. Moses wasn't even supposed to live. Somebody help me there. Pharaoh done had a plan to wipe Moses and all those children out. Somebody help me, preacher. I'm about ready to lose my mule right on this point. But aren't you glad? A lot of us ought to raise our hand here tonight. Aren't you glad for a preserving hand of God when it looks like we're going down for the last time? There's a God that intervenes in our life. Woo! Glory. Man, and Pharaoh's daughter raised him and hired his mother to do it. Somebody, woo, you said, I don't see God's hand in my life. I want you to know, when we look at Moses' life, we see God's hand. And if you look close enough in your life, you'll see God's hand's been in your life. Amen. He was treated well. I mean, he was promoted in Egypt. But there was a day when he saw his people being persecuted. And he killed an Egyptian. And he didn't know it, but somebody was looking at him. And he had to get out of there. And you might think, well, they done him wrong. Oh, well, you're wrong if you're thinking that. That was a plan of Almighty God to get him out of there. Because he wasn't ready to deliver the Egyptians out of bondage. He had to go somewhere first. Some of you better hear me tonight. Sometimes you look at things in your life and you say, man, it's sour lemons, it's bad. But it might just be God working a work in your heart that he might do something greater in your life. Whew. I want you to know he knew what it was to be on top. He knew what it was to have clout. And he found what it was to be on the bottom. But I tell you what, if he didn't hit the bottom, he wouldn't have saw this great phenomenon. Because there's a day on the backside of the desert, whoop, he walked on a phenomenon, a bush. And I know some of y'all don't believe the story, so you ain't going to get into it very good. But I believe the Bible. I believe every story of the Bible. And he walked upon a bush, and there wasn't no fire under it, and there was no fire over it, but there was fire in it. Whew. And I want you to know something. That trip at that burning bush, Lois, changed his life. Somebody help me preach. I don't believe the ministry of Moses would ever amount to anything if he didn't have a burning bush experience. And I want you to know something. You may not have seen a bush like his, but you may have been through an experience like his where God had to get you on the backside of the desert that he might deal with your life and bring fire to your life and bring purpose to your life. Amen. I want to see God's fire in my life. How about you? Well, where there's fire, there's productivity. Where there's fire, there's profit. Where there's fire, there's purpose. And I want you to know, I don't want to go on in my Christian life feeling no productivity and no purpose. I want God's power in my life. And I don't think we're going to get it unless we move down to the burning bush. Somebody help me preach. Some of you young preachers better listen to me now. You might make the difference in your whole ministry is if you have had a trip to the burning bush. So tonight, can I do this? Just for a few minutes? Can we learn some lessons from the burning bush? How many of you believe tonight if you really wanted God to really use your life, you'd like to learn some lessons tonight from the burning bush? Number one, and I try to move. And if I break down on one, I'll just stay there all night. I'm so happy. Number one, he had a confining preparation. His life was made up of three 40 years of offense, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the backside of the desert, and 40 years leading the children of Israel out of Egypt toward Canaan's fair land. He had a confining preparation. I want you to notice in verse number one, a significance of activity. But I want you to know, I'm going to bring this point out. He kept the flock. Somebody help me preach. He kept the flock. See, I really want to bring this point out. God never uses anyone that's not doing anything. I don't think y'all got it. God's not going to use anybody that's not doing anything. You want to be used of God, then you keep on being busy for God in the church and be doing the will of God, paying your tithes, getting out on the bus route, knocking on a door, passing out a tract. Do something for God, and you can expect God to do something in your life. And God ain't going to call no lazy person. Boy, that's good preaching anyhow. I remember one day, and some of y'all are going to think this is rude. It wasn't rude. I just kind of straightforward. As a young man about your age, come to me. said, I want to be a great preacher one day. Hadn't got called yet. And I want to pastor a great church like this one. Well, I said, you ain't going to do that. Boy, I busted his bubble. He said, why not? I said, you won't even come to soul winning. I said, you don't come to church half the time. Somebody help me preach. How in the world are you going to expect God want to do anything in your life if you're not doing anything for him? Good preacher, Reverend. Number two, not only do I see a significant of activity, I see a stigma of anonymity. Now, here's what the world tells y'all. And I want y'all to listen to this real carefully. I hope I don't get bogged down here, but I may. The world says the only way you can succeed in life is that you've got to know some people and you've got to be in the in crowd and you've got to learn how. Oh, I'm preaching now. To make yourself more popular. And these people on the internet right now, they are classical. They know how to operate that thing to get crowds drawn to them. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know something. You hear me tonight, and if you don't get anything I preach tonight, you need to get this tonight. God uses people sometimes that has to feel like they are nothing. You're not going to be used of God if you think you're something.
That's right.
Boy, I don't think you got that.
Amen.
Listen to this. Here's what some of us need to identify with. We need to identify with nothingness. Am I preaching?
Amen.
We need to get familiar with being a nobody. You might say, I want God to do something big in my life, and won't you introduce yourself to nothingness? I believe when I really first get used of God is when I realized I could not do it myself. I could not self-promote. I could not make myself good enough. And oh, glory, somebody say amen. See, people can't be used of God who thinks that God needs them. Somebody help me now. Hey, he doesn't need me, but I sure need him. Good preaching, Reverend. God is not interested in calling the qualified.
Yeah.
He's actually interested in qualifying the called.
Amen.
Am I preaching? See, we see it all over this country. People that want to get up the ladder, be the big dude in town, and be, hey, listen, I've been satisfied and pastor this church for these 43 years. If I know anything, I know I'm in the will of God, and I know I'm where God can use me. Somebody help me preach.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then I want you to notice this. This is still point one, and if I had to just preach this in two Sunday nights, I will. Then I notice strength of aloneness. You know, how many of y'all believe sometimes God's got to get you alone to do something in your life? As long as I'm going to put you on the spot. You ever been alone? And in that alone time, God gave you one of your great songs. I bet you. Amen. Hey, let me say something. Sometimes we need the soil of solitude when there's nobody there. It's when God's voice is the loudest. And God's work is shown the clearest. And God wants us to love him more dearly. and walk for him more nearly. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to get back to the burning bush, and you're not going to find the burning bush out there on I-64. You're going to find it on the ML prayer closet somewhere where you get alone with God and beg God to help you.
Amen.
Am I preaching? Number two. I'm just going to preach this wide open until 7 o'clock or so. Number two, I see the captivating presence of God. And the angel of the Lord, in verse 2, appeared in and looked, follow me, unto him in the flame of a fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. I see the intriguing appearance of God. Boy, how many of y'all, if you see a bush like that, it gets your attention. And I want you to know, it might not be a bush, but God has a way to get all of our attention. Somebody help me preach right there. It was an intriguing thing. He saw a bush that didn't burn. It was distinct. It was something only God could do. Then I see the draw of it. You know what Moses said? When Moses said, Colton, I'll turn aside. Amen. I'll turn aside, Chad. Chad, you know what some of us need to do? We need to turn aside and see that burning bush. Somebody help me preach. We need to move to God and be a lot closer than we are. We need to draw ourselves to him and turn aside and come where he is. By the way, I like to see us get like this. You read one chapter of the Bible, and then you want to read more because you see God so excited. And you led somebody to the Lord, and you wanted to lead somebody else. And you trusted God financially, and God blessed you, and you wanted to bless somebody else. Somebody help me preach right here. I'm getting excited. You know, there's just something about drawing near God. You know, how many, can I ask you? Let me slow down and ask you. How many in this room, be honest a minute, come on. It would do you probably some good to get closer to God. Will you raise your hand? Sure. Sure. And then I see the individual address in verse 4. He said, Moses, Moses. I like it when he calls other people, but I like it real good when God just hones in on me, and he honed in on Moses, and he said, Moses, Moses. And there's been some times I felt like I was the only one that God was talking to, and he said, John, John. I want to tell you, there ain't nothing like it when God comes into your closet and speaks to you individually, and you feel his presence. Man, I want to get up so bad and run and shout.
Praise, preacher. Woo! Good morning, God. Amen.
Man. Then I see an indescribable aura. You know what God said to him? Take your shoes off. Place where you stand is holy ground. He had a holy awe. That was a holy announcement. You said, what was the announcement? I'll tell you what the announcement was. He said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I tell you, God's still God.
Yes. Bless his holy name.
And then there was a humble approach. Fell on his face. Let me ask you tonight. Any of y'all feel like me once in a while? That you just got too much pride. I remember going to a pastor's fellowship at Bloomingdale Salem Baptist Church, probably 30 years ago or more. And I met a man there that I'd heard of for years. I never knew that I would hire him to be assistant pastor. His name was Bruce Young. Old Bruce was an effective servant of God. He came to work for me when he was 70. worked for me over 20 years. And I never forget this. And it really kind of changed my life. Bruce said, I need, he came up to the altar. And here's what he said out in front of all us preachers. He said, I want y'all to know I got too much pride in my life. I made up with it. And that 70-year-old man hit the altar. I looked at myself. I did. Here's what I said. If he needs it, I am in bad shape. Because I didn't feel like I was near that much of a Christian as he was. You know what some of our problem is? We just got too much pride. Somebody help me. You know, some people come in the church, and here's how they come into the church. Hey, they're not going to worship God. Here's how they come in. God, I'm here. Like you're somebody. We're nobodies. He is somebody. And we ought to lift him up and quit lifting ourselves up, and we'd be a whole lot better off. Then number three, I want to hurry. I see the commissioning purpose. See, once God arrests your attention, has he got your attention tonight? He then could start giving you orders. He ain't going to give you orders as long as you're skimming through the Bible and rushing through prayer. Somebody help me preach. And treat your Christianity so frivolously. He'll give you orders when you get down on his face and you take off your shoes and know that you're on holy ground. Verse 10, I see the revelation of the sovereign mind. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Amen. A special revelation. A reality of selection to ministry. I remember when God called me to preach. It changed my life. And a lot of young preachers ask me, what happened? What made you know that you were called to preach? So God gave me a desire for 6 months. I was preaching sermons in my sleep. Amen. I was. It was real in my life. But notice what in verse 11, the reluctance of the servant to move. He did a little bit of what I'd done, or a whole lot of what I'd done. He said, who am I? How many of you, I think about it sometimes. It's a great crowd tonight, by the way, with all the people we got up there too. I just look back and I say, look what God's done for me. Took me from a nothingness. When I pastored little churches that no one else would pastor, I pastored a church one time that voted 37 people in. And they all turned it down. And I was the 38. And that's the only time I ever got 100%. But I've said, who am I? Who am I that God's allowed me to pastor one of the greatest churches in America? Who am I that's allowed me to be amongst such a wonderful people? Who am I? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to get to the place. You might be reluctant tonight, but and you may see, who am I? But I'm glad that God comes back with a confirming power. Look what he said. He said, certainly I will be with thee. Somebody ought to preach right there. That's the explanation of a supreme existence. He said, certainly I'll be with you. And God said unto Moses, when he said, how am I going to know? He said, just go down there and say, I am have sent thee. I ought to get some of y'all shouting right now. Amen. He confirmed to him. then elimination of senseless excuses. I want for somebody in this church tonight. Let me stop a minute. And you know God's calling you to preach, or calling you in the mission field. And you said so many times, why? No, I'm not worthy to do that. No, I'm not able to do that. You know what you need? You need to eliminate your senseless excuses. Hey, there's places in this church you could serve right now if you just drop your pride and say, here am I. Preacher, just tell me where I need to go and I'll go. Amen. Amen. That's a good preacher. Yes, then I see a enabling of successful, him being successful. Really what he told Moses was, Moses, this right here is good. You and me can get the job done. You can't get the job done, but you and me can get the job done. Amen. And I want you to know, whatever you do in life, if God is in it and God is directing you, you can get the job done. Somebody say amen.
Thank you, Lord.
But I'm going to give you one final lesson. I like this one. This one, we can maybe leave the room shouting. I see a compelling picture in this bush of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that picture is a picture of the incarnation. When that fire was in that bush, how God came down and dwelt. And God dwelt in that body. Somebody help me preach. I see divine compassion. He said, I've seen the affliction of the people. You know why Jesus Christ came? He came because of God's divine compassion on us. The incarnation itself. He said, I am come down. How many's glad that Christ has come down and took our place and bore our sin and became our sin substitute?
Amen.
And I see the purpose of the incarnation to deliver. You know why he came the first time? To deliver us from sin. And why he's coming the second time? To deliver us from the presence of sin. Somebody help me preach. Woo! And what the benefit design was about all this? To bring them into a good land and to a large land. And I'm standing on this one. He came the first time so he could come the second time and take us into a wonderful place. A place called heaven where there's no more sickness, where there's no more sorrow. I'm glad I can see Christ in this story. If you're here tonight lost, Jesus Christ came down to deliver you from sin. Bow your head with me tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many Christians in this room, please tell me that God spoke to you tonight and that you need to turn aside from the distractions that's in your life and come near God. How many can just slip out of your seat right now? People are coming right now. Just slip out of your seat. Let me raise your hand up and say, preacher, there's a lot of things distract me and I need to get close to God. Wave at me. Yes. People are coming out of all over the place. And you just come. How many unsaved people are here tonight as Christians are coming? Would say, Preacher Smith, I need to be saved. God's been working on me lately. And I know it. He's worked on my heart. I'm troubled about my sin. And I really want to be saved. And I'm glad he came down. How many unsaved people tonight are here and you're glad he came down and you just like for me to pray for you? You're not saved, but you want to be. Just slip your hand up. God bless that hand. Anybody else? Just slip it up. Say, oh boy, I'll tell you, I need Jesus. Why don't you just draw aside like Moses did and come to him tonight? This will be a great night for you to come. Stand with me. Let me pray. Our Father, God, help other Christians just to come around this altar. Draw nigh. Turn aside. Get close. Lord, help us tonight, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.